participation again. So I really enjoy y'all's comments when y'all pipe in and help me out. So looking forward to that again today. Today's topic, I guess you would call it, is on personal service. And I know we've been talking about idols of the heart and changing the focus of different areas and aspects of our life to where they become more important than our focus on serving God. So with this topic, I'm sure some questions were, well, if personal service, that is serving God, right? So how can that be more important? It's the same thing. But I think sometimes we can take it, I don't want to say take it too far, I don't know if that's the right choice of words, but I think sometimes in our daily life and in everything that we do, it can overshadow our thought and focus on serving God. Let's read Matthew 6:24. Miss Bobby, when you get there, can you read that for me, please?
No one can serve two masters, or you will hate one master and love the other, or will follow one master and refuse to follow the other. You cannot serve both God and the Lord.
Okay. Let's go ahead and jump to Galatians 5. Sandy, can you read verse 13 through 15?
All things are supposed to are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light.
Yes, ma'am.
But you rather have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another.
Okay. With this, I wanted us to take from these two scriptures that we are told to serve one another, and we are told to serve God, and we are told to love each other as ourselves. But we're also cautioned about being not consumed through that, to where it can, if I'm understanding it correctly, where it can overshadow and do harm than good. There are so many different ways to serve the Lord. I had y'all list some of the ways and provide scriptures. You have a thought?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you think I'm headed in the wrong direction, please help me.
Okay. Well, I'll wait.
Okay. So, what are some of the ways that we can serve? Loving our neighbors, ourselves, serving one another, where it's also serving the Lord. What did y'all come up with?
Hospitality.
Hospitality. I'm sorry? Romans 12. Okay. Anybody else?
Encouragement.
Okay.
Visiting the sick and the afflicted.
Okay.
Calling them and, you know. But, though, I guess I looked at it the wrong way. I was, you know, looking at it what way that we can do to serve the Lord, you know, not so much as helping our brothers and sisters in Christ. I was just looking at it, you know, just by us serving Him. And one thing I come up with was by thanking God for the things that He do for us each day, praying each day, thanking Him. 2 Timothy 1:1-3 says, 2 Timothy 1:3 says, I thank God when I served from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. That's what I was looking at, you know, what can we do to serve God besides, you know, helping our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's how I look at the question.
Okay. Well, maybe I could have done a little bit better job in wording the question. But my thought for this was, in our personal service, doing personal service for our brethren, how that can become more, we lose our focus in serving God. And I'm probably still not explaining that in the way that, if y'all could just open my brain and see it.
You're saying it can take the place of serving God or become more important to us than serving God?
I think so. I think so, at times we get so focused in doing and in our daily lives and our daily activities that we have forgotten to spend personal time with God because we're doing for everybody else.
Now, I've done that myself. I'm guilty of that.
So that's one of the things that I wanted us to be conscious of. In Matthew, in the different ways from the list that we're creating, I had everything that everybody was saying, but I wanted us to look at Matthew 25. Verse 35-40. It says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king answered to them, saying, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did to one of these brothers of mine, even in the least of them, you did it to me." So showing, doing all of these things that we've listed, showing hospitality, visiting the elderly, providing food for the sick, hospital visits, even our Bible study, that's not wrong. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm saying that He wants us to do that. What I want us to be conscious of is when we are doing all of that, but we don't have our personal, private, quiet time with Him. When we don't do our personal study because we're doing all of these other things, our focus has shifted. and we need to be conscious of that. In John 11, it talks about Martha. You know, in a second, we're going to get to Luke 10, and we're going to talk about the story of Martha and Mary. But I wanted to be very clear that Martha, when we get to the story of Martha and Mary, I wanted to be very clear that Martha had a very, very deep and abiding faith in Jesus. So when we get to that next point, I don't want anybody to walk away from here thinking that I do not believe that she loved Jesus and she had faith in his ability and she was very devoted to him, because I know that she was. And in John 11, it talks about that. You know, she, with the story of Lazarus, she knew, she believed that if Jesus had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. She believed that he could heal him. And so I wanted to make sure that that was pointed out with that, so that when we do now turn to Luke 10 and talk about the story of Martha and Mary. Tammy, can you read verse 38 through 42, please?
32 through 38?
No. Tammy's going to read verse 38 through 42.
Okay.
Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparation, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." The Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which she shall not be taken away from her.
One sister was focused on serving, which we're commanded to serve and serve our brethren. And the other sister was sitting and learning. Now, Martha was, you know, God wants us to serve each other. But here's where the focus shifted for Martha during this, even though we know she had a very deep and abiding faith. And she had become consumed, I guess, might be a good word, in making sure everything was perfect, the house was clean, the preparations were done, the food was cooked, and all of that. And she became upset because her sister was just sitting there at Jesus' feet, and she wanted Jesus to do something. Like, make her help me. Like, we were kids sometimes. Mom, he's not helping. And that's when, you know, Jesus tells her, she's chosen the good part. It's okay. Things do not have to be perfect. He wants us to spend time alone with him as well. Yes, ma'am.
My verse has a good word. I think in verse 4 it said Martha was distracted. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we can get in trouble if we get distracted by, like what you're talking about, everyday, day-to-day, you know, whatever we're doing, whether it's our own household or taking care of other people or what. You know, you're right. The point is to keep your focus on. I mean, I don't think Jesus is saying you don't do that. Don't worry about that. But she had a lip that filled her mind and just cried out.
Exactly. Anybody have any comments? I'm doing a lot of talking. Jump in. Throw something at me. Just not tomatoes. In 1 Peter chapter 4, chapter 9, or verse 9 through 11. Amy, can you read that?
Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
We're told to be hospitable. We're told to serve one another. And we each, you know, God's given us all special gifts. Some of us are more, I don't want to say more capable, but maybe they have a little bit more time on their hands to go and visit the sick or cook food. Some of us are really good cooks and some of us really aren't. But we all can find a place to love and serve one another. But my question below that has, we need to make sure that we don't turn into a Martha. Have we turned into Martha? I know at some point in my life I have turned into Martha myself, where I've gotten so busy in the day-to-day, even serving fellow brethren, that I have forgotten the good part. I've become distracted. And, you know, we have a life. We all have lives. Have we filled our schedule so full of life, husband, children, school activities, children's activities, social events, that we need assistance from our fellow brethren just to do our life? To get our personal to-do list done. It's not wrong to rely on your brothers. You know, if we need help from our brethren, we need to ask for it. And it's okay. It's not a pride thing. Sometimes we need to put our pride down and ask for help if we need it. But if I think we become unbalanced when we stack our calendars so full on a continuous basis, that we're relying on the brethren to do our daily life chores, where in the time have we gotten to serve and study and be alone with Christ during all of that if we can't even get our regular life done? And I think that becomes an unbalanced shift as well.
I think we also need to be really careful that we don't put a burden on our brethren. I think everybody here would say that it's a priority in our lives to do what we can for other people. But, you know, when people become so demanding, you know, that we feel put upon or pressured or whatever, maybe that's not a good way to put it. But sometimes, you know, I think people expect too much. And I think we all need to be careful of that we don't maybe get our feelings hurt because somebody didn't do something for me, like, you know, I had surgery and then somebody brought me food, or not enough people brought me food, or that kind of thing, or not enough people called me. But it can go the other way too. You can put a burden on them where people, their family suffers because they're trying to do mm-hmm. everything I need to. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that does make sense. Any other comments? I'm going to start throwing stuff in a minute. Have you ever thought to yourself, yes, I love the Lord, but I'm a little busy working for Him right now, doing for others, so I'll spend time with Him later? Well, let's go through that. I can imagine the moms with young children in the morning. The alarm goes off, get the kids up, get the husband up, get ready for school, getting ready for work, you make breakfast, You make the lunches for the kids. You get the kids often dressed, taken to school. You go and visit the elderly and the sick in the hospital. You meet with teachers for parent conference. Do your personal exercise. You go to the grocery store, you run errands, come home, eat lunch, pick up the dry cleaning, pick up the kids, do the homework, do the snack, laundry, clean house, ball practice, gymnastics, ballet, band, volleyball, etc. Whatever you got going. Husband comes home.
I'm hungry.
So you got dinners going. You sit down, you eat. You get the bath, kids to bed. You get things ready and scheduled for tomorrow to start all over again. You're exhausted. When did you spend time in personal study and prayer? I've been caught up in that myself. That's where the focus got imbalanced. Am I reading too much into this? Am I taking things out of context? Yes, ma'am.
You know, your point is real good, but there's another point to go along with it. If our lives are so full, you mentioned children and family, and we're so busy helping everybody out, we don't have time for Bible study, and we don't have time for family. It just goes on and on and on, and then where does it end?
Well, another way to look at it is, you know, we need to be careful that we're not overstretching our lives. Such as to, you know, we need to weed out the, or streamline, or organize better, or I don't think there's anywhere in the Bible that says you need to be a better organizer, or blah, blah, blah. But, you know, to get everything done that has to be done in our society, you know, I don't know how people get through it if they don't streamline or organize in some way, or enlist to help the kids, or, you know, they need to be trained anyway. To keep your household running. And to do that and to plan time for Bible study or, you know, helping your kids with their lessons or whatever, you know, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think everybody here would say something has to be done.
Well, if we had all the time to do it, the necessary thing that we have to do to run the family, but when, although we may not have a time to sit and read a couple of verses or study the Bible, but before we close our eyes, we sit and we talk to the Lord, you know, thank Him for said our prayer. Don't you think that was, you know, spending some time with Him? It may not have been 2 or 3 hours in prayer, but you did have time to, you know, thank Him for all that He, you know, blessed you to be able to do or whatever. Do you think that spending a little time with Him or spending time, I'm not going to say a little because we're supposed to spend, you know, more time than a little. But we did. We didn't forget to pray.
No, we didn't forget to pray. But do you think that's all He expects of us?
Well, we did. The other necessary, you know, necessary. We visited sick. We took cooked food. You know, we took care of business. You know, but we didn't forget just to fall asleep and not pray.
No, I understand
because
that.
So tired at the end of the, you know, day.
I want us to, no, we did not forget to pray. And He expects that of us. Mm-hmm. But He also expects us to teach our children in the ways of the Lord. And how can we do that if we're not spending time in study?
He also expects us to grow in knowledge. And if we don't spend time in the Word, you know, Stephen talks about this all the time. And I think it's a real failing in our society, in the church and everywhere. People aren't spending time in the Word. You know, just sitting and reading. Study aside, just sit and read. You know, you can't grow if you don't spend time in the Word.
And if we, like you said, and to continue on with that point, if we don't spend time reading and, you know, salt and pepper it with study, we can very well like we've been studying and Steve's been going over, misrepresent the scriptures. We can take one scripture and totally misrepresent what he's trying to teach us. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, I don't want to talk about
that. No, you
know, I just didn't mean that. You know, we all have the same hours in the day. And if we actually sat down, you know how when you go on a diet, a lot of people say, you know, write down everything you eat, so then you realize how much you're eating. Well, if you really sat down and wrote down everything you did all day and how much time you spent doing it, I think we'd be shocked how much time is lost, because I'm not a big TV watcher. I just never have been. But if you think about how much time is spent watching TV, we're a little different society than, say, 100 years ago when people didn't have cars and they were all on a ranch and they couldn't get the car to go somewhere. Think about how much time we spend in the car. You know, we have to live in a big city and sometimes we have to go distances. I mean, that's just something you've got to work around. But I think we might be surprised at how many time wasters are in our day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I did a, yes, ma'am. Go ahead. No. I please.
Well, this is switching a little bit, so if you wanted to finish up that thought, go
okay.
ahead.
Okay, don't lose it. Okay. I did a, I was talking with a friend of mine, and she's got two small children, and she stays at home, and she wanted the house to be nice and picked up when hubby got home. But she found herself every 15 minutes picking up the toys that the kids had brought out. And she realized she had wasted so much time picking up the toys all day long, to where if she had just spent one of those 15 minutes right before he got home, she had all this other time to do other things like study or spend time with the kids instead of picking up after the kids and getting frustrated with them because they just brought out another toy and I just picked that toy up and it was just a never-ending cycle. Exactly. So she just decided, okay, what'll happen if I spend this short amount of time right before he comes home? And she said, I was a much happier person because I was getting less and less frustrated with the kids. And I felt like I was spinning my wheels where I could actually get other things done. Who cares if they're in the living room? They'll get picked up at 4:30. And so that was a lot of time. She realized she was, as Lauren, you know, time waster. I like that point of phrase. So, yes, Sharon.
I have 2 points now if I can demonstrate.
Okay.
One related to that. That sometimes our priorities get skewed because we might be getting pressure from other people in our lives. Maybe the grandparents think that we're supposed to keep a spotless house and every toy picked up all the time. Or, you know, just feeling pressure from maybe what other women say that they did when their kids were young. And we get this image, you know, that in the 1950s, everybody was
vacuumed and high-heeled and curled.
And I have stories in my family where my grandmother would do her housework and she had on her dress and her apron, and if she had to run to the store for a loaf of bread, she put on her gloves and her hat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't live that life. But sometimes we are sort of, like you said, on that treadmill of wasting time trying to keep up with some image of what we think. And what that'll tie into what my other point was going to be was that we have to really take some time to think about what our goals in our life are. You know, whatever stage of life we're in, we don't know if we'll be alive tomorrow, but we can sort of make long-term goals for what we want to do if we live to be 80 or 90 and spend our time. And like Lauren was saying, and we've had in other classes, the emphasis that if we don't purposely plan to make time to study and grow and work, those years are slipping away. I mean, I had a friend in college who I remember him saying, you know, I feel like, you know, we're just so busy, we're in college right now, and you know, I'll get to that Bible study and all later. Well, if he went on to law school, would you think he did it then? You know, then he was, I'm sure, you know, the low man on a law firm or something. I doubt I've lost touch with him but I doubt that he's ever committed to really spending time studying. But how many of us are doing it? Maybe not that openly and that blatantly. And I doubt that he's even serving the Lord. But maybe that's why some of us drift away more, too, because we're not making it a, you know, by the time I'm 60 or let's say 50, I want to be able to really teach people and teach the younger women, or I want to be qualified to be an excellent elder's wife, or all of those things you have to be working for, and that means doing exactly what you're saying of committing that time during every day during your year that you go.
Mm-hmm. I can attest to the fact that it really does never slow down. I thought when my kids were grown, you know, I knew all this time. It doesn't happen. And, you know, I don't even have a real job. You know? So I don't know what it is that I would say so busy doing, but now, don't kid yourself and think that once your kids get a little older or once they're out of the house or something, you're going to have all this time. Because it doesn't happen.
I thought, go ahead.
I just wanted to add with all this, we have to be careful about justification. We can talk ourselves into anything and we can convince ourselves into anything. We can't say, I'm so busy that I've only got 15 or 20 minutes to study the Bible or to read like Mark was talking about or whatever. We have to really examine ourselves and think about what we're convincing ourselves of.
You know, I think even, you know, like Lauren was saying, it doesn't slow down. It tends to get more hectic, I think, as they get older because they no longer take naps. They're always awake and expecting things from you. And one of the things, in fact, what Sandy was saying, is that I had to examine my day, my life, my sanity, the quiet times. When did I get those quiet times? And if I didn't get them when the boys were awake, and boys I meaning the 16-year-old and the 16-year-old I married, because when he's awake, it's the same thing. And we all have those husbands. They want time with us. They want us to do things with them. So I had to think, okay, if I don't have that quiet moment while they're awake, I have to create that quiet moment. And like Sharon was saying, planning it. If I wait until the end of the day, I'm exhausted and I can't concentrate. That's me personally. So I couldn't do it before I went to bed because I'd fall asleep praying because I'm so tired. So my quiet time I create in the morning before Dylan gets up. And on Saturdays and Sundays, I purposely don't go wake up the guys until I'm done. It's okay to let them sleep. but that's just when I am more conscious. I get my coffee. That's quiet time. I absorb better. That's me personally. You have to, instead of justifying why you can't, find out when you can and schedule it. So that way when the day gets crazy, you haven't, at the end of the day, I didn't spend any time with God today. And I would hate to not wake up or not wake up the next day knowing that I did not put Him first. Does that make sense? Any other comments? Yes, ma'am.
To be able to adjust that for each stage of life, because what works when your kids are little and they nap them out. I always love to get that kind of family.
Exactly.
Well, Michaela gave up napping when she turned three.
Exactly.
Life is different. But if you're in a stage where you're running kids around to activities, or you're doing a lot of visiting people down the medical center, or taking food to people, you know, get the Bible on your CD or, you know, your MP3s or whatever that works, you know, that you can listen to something in the car and use that time.
That's a good point.
It may not be in-depth study, but it's at least spending
a focus,
time,
right?
With that in your day.
That's a good point. Because we, again, like Lauren, like both of y'all mentioned, we're in the car a lot, and they've got books on tape or books on CD. I'm sure I have not looked, but I'm sure they have a Bible version that you can plug in and go about your business.
Yeah,
Any other comments? I thought we were going to get done really early. Thank you for your comments. Yes, ma'am. Yes,
sorry.
I'm sorry.
Something for Lily when you said that. I guess just thinking as a mother of a young child and knowing she's going to grow up and one day be a woman herself, and looking back at some of the mistakes I've made in my life, and some of the things I've done right in my life, and things I want her to know. And I just look and I go, I want my daughter to know when she gets married, her focus is to work at home. And it just makes so much sense. But the world always pushes us now, be a career woman, you know, be independent. You're so smart and clever. It's such a waste for you to stay at home. But, I mean, just thinking about my life when I was teaching, and I had no time to be a good wife. I mean, I was just teach, come home, do chores, go to sleep, wake up, do the same thing the next day. I had no time to become a better Christian, no time to become a better wife, no time at all to be, even think about being a mother. So I just, you know, we just really need to tell our daughters that is what God's plan is for you, to be a worker at home. And I'm not saying it's a sin to work outside of the home, but I sure know that my life is so much better now that I'm at home. And so I just think we really, really, really need to push that with our daughters, because, you know, just that extra added stress on a woman, and you're all stressed out and you're yelling at your husband and you're just all stressed out and he's saying, I need my clothes ironed, and you're like, hello, I'm doing your job, I'm making the money, you need to iron your own clothes. I mean, just stupid stuff that you argue over, but you're so stressed out, it's just, your life could be absolutely horrible, and I don't want Lily to go through that. And I think we just really, really, really need to push that with our daughters, because the world today is telling our daughters the only way to be a real woman is to work outside of the home. And then, also just about the kind of man she's going to marry. You know, she needs to marry a man who's understanding, because when you're crazy sometimes with hormones or things are going bad for some other reason, and if you don't marry a man who understands you and listens to you and loves you in that understanding way, a man that you can communicate with, then that's another way she's going to have a horrible life if she marries the wrong kind of man. So you just really, I think we really need to push that with our daughters and our granddaughters, you know, marry the right kind of man, the man who's going to be understanding. Look at the way he treats his mom. Look at the way he treats his family. Is he spending time with his family? Is that a big priority with him? You know, look at, is he going to make you work out of the home? So I think it's just, I don't know, something I think, you know, what kind of mistakes can I help Lily to avoid? I mean, maybe she's going to make them anyways, but I just hope that she doesn't.
Well, and I've had that eye-opener within the last several years, where I worked for years and years and years and years, all through Dylan's high school, or not high school, but school age, up until a certain point. And I, right there where Jamie was, I'd come home, and then, I mean, you hit that door, and it, Mom, I'm hungry, what's for dinner, the house clean, I need laundry done, and you're just like, shut up, leave me alone for just 5 minutes, but you don't get that. And then, on the flip side, when you do have, now that I am home, and I do have, it still gets crazy, and they still have that, what's for dinner, I'm hungry, but I'm a much different person on the inside because of the experiences that I've gone through and the more time that I've had, and the fact that I have been able to come to ladies' class and learn from y'all, as well as being able to spend more time in study. And my family has noticed the difference. My son and my husband, they've noticed that I'm not quite as me as I was before. And so, yes, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I agree 100% with everything Jenny said. I feel very strongly about women, you know, being at home, especially when they're raising families. And I raise my family that way. But you just need to prepare yourself for the fact that when you raise your children a certain way, they don't always grow up and do what you think they ought to do. Mm-hmm. And it's a very difficult thing to accept and watch. Because I can see what's happening in the family, you know, when the woman, the wife, is not in the home. Mm-hmm. It's a very high stress thing. And, you know, you can talk your head off, and it doesn't do any good, and you have to reach a point where, you know, it's their life, it's their decisions. And
they left your home.
Whole lot you do that.
Yeah.
And just to set an example and just be there to encourage them, whatever. But, you know, you're right. We live in a world that is fighting us every step of the way, every step, mm-hmm. about not just that, but about everything. And, you know, with our kids and our husbands and, you know, and everything. And, you know, that's just another reason that we need to spend the time studying and praying and focusing on our spiritual responsibilities and our spiritual growth. Or, you know, we're just going to get, this is going to be a tsunami wave. Just over us.
So, final comment, and this kind of wraps everything up that we've talked about, is we can be deeply devoted women with a strong sense of faith, but we have to be very conscious of the fact that during all of our service to others, that we don't forget, that we don't get our priorities crossed and forget to spend time in service alone to God, that doesn't replace our service to God. Thank you for your comments.